Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carry Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in to the final installment in the 2010 season. It happens here in 2011, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sunneth. Vic Ketchman is down the hall writing his story for Jaguars.com after Wayne Weaver's press conference, and so it's Gene and I here, the general manager. Gene, certainly 8-8 season, wrapping up after the loss in Houston yesterday, not where you wanted to be at this point of the year, but I thought this would be a good opportunity to do both a look back and also kind of a look forward as we kind of fulcrum here at the end of the season to see where things have gone and where they'll go. So I'll open up with the first question for you, which is just simply kind of an overview of the season. How will you remember this season? How will you categorize the season that was in 2010?
Well, first I'll say 8-8 isn't good enough. That's not where we want to be. You know, we got a lot of fans that certainly are passionate about supporting this football team, and I truly appreciate that passion, and I do want to give them a team that can compete to win it all one day. I really believe it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, if we keep doing the right thing in terms of building the roster. I think we started off the year on a little bit of a roller coaster. We had some difficult losses. We were able to straighten it out because, as you well know, the NFL season is a little bit of a roller coaster. You do have some peaks and some valleys, but we did, again, level it out, played some very good football at times, were able to stack some wins, you know, in the second and third quarter, and then we get to the fourth quarter, and we certainly did not finish the way we would like to have. So, you know, we had a grand opportunity against the Colts up in Indy and didn't take care of business, and then, you know, of course, the last 2 weeks, not Jaguar football. Not that you know, we didn't try to win those games, but just not in the way we need to play late in the year when you're in the playoff hunt. That's something that we definitely have to get corrected and will.
We knew that game in Indianapolis was going to be a big game, but looking back on it, that was really the season. I mean, that was as much as the game last night in Seattle between the Seahawks and St. Louis was the NFC West championship game for all intents and purposes. That game in Indianapolis, as it turned out, really was the AFC South championship game.
It really was, and it was so great to be in that position. You know, I've been here from day one, and there's nothing more I want. I mean, I feel like the fans than to bring a championship to this city. We had it in our grasp. You know, we just didn't take advantage of the opportunity, and as with life, you have to be prepared to do so. And I was happy that our fans were able to be in a position like that, to be rooting for a team that is their team in a game like that. But we did not play well enough to win that game. And I still say you got to take your hat off to the Colts. They did what they needed to do the fourth quarter of the season to win the division. And tremendous accomplishment for them.
How much of an eye did you keep on that game yesterday as the Jaguars were playing in Houston, the Colts and Titans?
Really not much. I was focused, obviously, on our football game because it took us winning first, in my mind, to finish the season out strong. And then if you get a little bit of luck, which we almost did, you know, it would have been great if we would have won and Tennessee would have beat the Colts. But it didn't work out that way. And now we got to look forward and we can't look back.
Now, I'll ask you to look back for the next 50 minutes or so as we do both looking back and looking forward. High points of the season, as far as you were concerned. What were the high points, the highlights, and things that maybe will carry forward with this team?
Well, I think some playmaking in crucial situations throughout the season. Obviously, we won some games late in the fourth quarter that could have went either way. That was a big plus. You know, I know, Cole, tonight we want to kind of reflect on our season, and it's probably not the best day to do it for me because of the disappointment. But I can tell you this, there'll be some great moments in the future of this franchise if we keep doing things the right way.
One of the real pluses, I thought, was reflected in some of the comments from some of the players I spoke with today in the locker room, and they're finishing out the season, and you had exit interviews with all the players, and they're cleaning out their lockers and so forth. So many of the leaders on this team talked about how the culture and the environment of the way things were done and the approach that people took and the sort of camaraderie and so forth was so much better than it had been, that maybe that's part of the legacy of this season, where fans, players, coaches, personnel folks will be disappointed in the 8-8 and missing the playoffs, but the success that could come in the future, we could look at what that's really sort of part of the glue of putting this thing together.
It is part of the glue, and that's what I'm saying. We really need to look ahead to the future in terms of what this team can do. Obviously, I do think it's got tremendous team chemistry, our football team, but you got to transfer that chemistry into winning on the football field. And I think to a degree we made some positive strides that way, but we got to learn to finish. I mean, I think that's the message here tonight, that yes, there were some very positive things done. I do think we're doing it the right way in terms of trying to build this roster. But we got to transfer all of this to the field. And, you know, your good drafting is defined by winning, I think. And so the player personnel department will give our very best to this city, to this organization, to try to bring a winner here.
All right, we'll have some more comments. We'll talk about the offense here in just a moment. Final installment of the year, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton. I want to thank the folks at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, who offered a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays after Jaguars wins. And they also were gracious enough to feed us. Brought food in here for our tailgate show and our broadcast on the road game. So you guys were on the road, and we were back here at the stadium. Always happy to have folks from Sunny stop by. We'll take time out. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
That's very important to have. Been through all the things that we've been through together. We just got a bunch of great guys here. I think we got a special team, and excited for what we will do next season.
Comments from the Jaguars' first-round pick, Tyson Alualu, today. It was a season where there was a lot thrown at this team. There's no doubt about that, and we can talk about the impact of that as we go on. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Not really injuries to report of note. Of course, David Garrard had the surgery on his finger. Saw he had the whole cast and the whole thing all bandaged up. You may have seen that on TV yesterday. And, of course, Maurice Jones-Drew also with the knee coming here. We'll see what the impact of that is. From a offensive standpoint, let's talk about the offense here in this segment. Certainly seemed like that was the area of the team that took the biggest step forward this year from a year ago. Do you agree?
I'd agree with that.
Let's do some evaluation as we do. What areas were best? What areas surprised you? And what areas do you think need to see bigger areas of improvement?
Well, I do think the skill group made some strides. Mike Thomas really emerged as our go-to guy. He made some clutch catches this year. On the inside, Mercedes Lewis just had an outstanding year, obviously, being elected to the Pro Bowl. And then at the running back position and at the fullback position, I thought Greg Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew, and you throw in Rashad Jennings, the way he played when given opportunities, I really thought that we got good play out of those positions. And then certainly David, when things were functioning well around him, as with most quarterbacks, he did some things in a very efficient way. To get us, you know, on a streak of wins and get us into the playoff hunt in the fourth quarter of the season.
He had a quarterback rating of 90 this year. I think it was 83 last year, something like that. So he took a step up in terms of quarterback rating. Did he play better this year than he did a year ago?
I think he did. Certainly, I think with all quarterbacks, the bottom line is winning, and we didn't win enough games this year. It's unfortunate he got the injury against the Colts. I do feel like, David and, again, all quarterbacks, it's about 11 guys playing together. And for some reason down the stretch, we didn't play as well up front, you know, to establish the run game against the Colts and then against the Redskins. We showed some signs in our running game yesterday, but when we run the ball well, we pass protect better, and David certainly plays better.
Let's talk a little bit more about that quarterback position, because it's an intriguing one, and one the fans will always focus on, of course. You saw Trent Edwards get his first start as a Jaguar yesterday. We talked a little bit about this, that it could be a little bit of an audition opportunity. What'd you learn about Trent yesterday?
Well, he struggled some in the game. I've done a lot of work on him, certainly before we claimed him off the waiver wire, and we did a lot of work on him, too, in college, the scouts. And, it's not an easy task going in to a situation where you haven't had an opportunity, at least to play in live games with, his supporting cast. But we saw a lot during the year in practice, from the day he became a Jaguar, to get a feel for him. And then we certainly saw a lot in Luke McCown prior to his injury. So, we do have some exposures to both of those quarterbacks that a lot of other teams don't have, and certainly we got to make a decision there.
And you certainly still have the Tractor phone number for Todd Ballin if it all comes down to it. Quarterbacks in the draft this year, we still don't know if a number of them will be coming out. They have to make that decision pretty quickly here. But when the season began, college football, people talk about this being a very good quarterback season for the draft. Still a good quarterback draft, potentially?
I think it is. A lot of it depends on the underclassmen that declare, and that's not just at the quarterback position. That's, typically at all positions. But this year, I think the numbers will be good at the position. I'm not saying having a lot of, top first round type quarterbacks, but there'll be a number in the first and second round that'll have an opportunity to be eventual starters in the league.
And it's interesting to see how some of the young quarterbacks played around the NFL this year. One guy really jumps to mind, Josh Freeman, took a big step forward in his second year. You look at how some of the other young quarterbacks performed, and you see some rookies who really struggled. Bradford had a better year than a lot of folks expected, even as the number one pick, and certainly the Rams did well, but his numbers were not wouldn't jump out at you from the numbers standpoint, but the wins, as you mentioned, got people's attention. It's tough to find that guy who can come right in and as a quarterback and be a star right away and really understand what's going on in the National Football League.
It's very difficult to do. Certainly if you want to be a playoff team, I think it's a position where you need some experience. But if the quarterback's fortunate enough to come in a team situation where they have some things built around him, it'll certainly help his cause.
How much of an impact is it on a young quarterback to have played in a pro-style system in college?
Well, I think it's a definite benefit. I don't get all caught up in, though, the guy who doesn't play under the center. I think there's some things there that can certainly be taught. And a lot of the guys did it in high school. Maybe they don't do it in college, but that area for me is just like an offensive lineman who plays out of a preset stance in college. People get too wound up in, can he run block when he gets to this level? Well, when the ball snapped, they're all in 2 feet. So there's things as a scout that you got to be able to differentiate between, what can be coached and corrected and what can't be, and those things can be coached, and players can learn those things to do.
All right, let's talk about the running backs. You mentioned Maurice Drew going to the Pro Bowl once again. A guy who, just fought through every single little nick and scrape, and sometimes more than little nicks and scrapes, and battled all the way through. It was clear he just didn't have his legs underneath him, and talking about the surgery coming up now, he didn't have it all there at the end of the year and still tried to go out there and do it. and you've mentioned his competitiveness in the past, but boy, if you needed to have that underlined or highlighted anymore, all you had to do was look at what he did on a bad leg.
No question. And, you know, he sets the example for others to follow. You know, we tried to limit him some down the stretch to try to help him out. But, you know, he's got a warrior mentality, and we got very good play out of Rashad Jennings when he came in, and Deji Karim gave us some snaps. And we have some other guys at that running back position that are capable of playing. It's just we got into a groove, and our offensive line was really playing well the midpoint of the season, which enabled Maurice to put up some outstanding numbers. And then, you know, we tailed off some. And it wasn't just not having Maurice Jones-Drew. We just didn't do things as well up front.
You got a little more of an opportunity to see Deji Karim at the running back position in the last part of the year. What do you think of his play?
Well, he's a kind of a change-up back, probably more of a specialty half back that you can certainly utilize on draws and screens, and he can run routes to mismatch linebackers if they're going to try to match him in man. And then the surprising thing about him is, you know, he's 210 pounds, and he's thick, and he actually has shown a great willingness to step up and pass protect. And I think that's partly due to the fact he sees Maurice do it and Jennings do it, and Greg Jones certainly does it to the level of an offensive lineman.
Yep.
So I think he feels like he's got to match, you know, what they're doing.
All right, how about the tight ends? Mercedes obviously had a terrific year going to the Pro Bowl, ties the Jaguars franchise record for touchdowns in a single season with 10. I think there were a lot of expectations for Zach Miller this year. He had some injuries. When he was in there, he made some plays for him.
He really did. It's unfortunate that he wasn't able to stay healthy the entire year because he is a mismatch kind of guy in terms of how he can take advantage of some situations in the passing game in particular. And then Mercedes Lewis, you know, he dropped some weight this year. He had better body quickness in and out of his routes. Then I thought he just did a lot more after the catch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that stayed on his feet. Guy was very physical for people to try to bring down when he had the ball in his hand. So I'm so happy for him because he's become a complete tight end.
He's a real pro, too. I mean, the way he approaches things, I've seen a real change in him, you know, being in the locker room, being around those guys. Over the last 2 years, I've seen a real change in the way that he's approached things and the kind of responsibility, I think, that he's putting on his own shoulders.
No question. I have two daughters, and if they could marry someone like him in terms of the way he approaches his profession, how he conducts himself off the field, how he gives back to the community. He's just got so many things that whether he's playing football or doing something else in life, he's going to be successful.
All right, wide receivers. We touched on a little bit earlier. Mike Thomas had took a next step. He was, I think, a guy who showed some real burst last year and then this year took that next step. Mike Sims-Walker went the other direction. Talk about the wide receiver core.
Well, I think it's accurate. You know, Mike Thomas did some outstanding things for us this year in some very crucial situations. He came up with some big catches.
Oh, yeah.
And he's probably our one guy when you talk about making the contested catch. He's the one guy that consistently does it. And then Mike Sims-Walker, certainly he had some injuries he's had to battle through. And, you know, I've said this before, that availability supersedes ability. I mean, you got to be on the field to help us win. And it's unfortunate that he wasn't 100% a good part of the year. But, you know, the great thing was Jason Hill, who we brought in, you know, gave us some fresh legs and some playmaking. And, you know, I feel like, you know, he came in here very eager to get an opportunity to play and to prove himself. And he did some outstanding things. And then believe it or not, although Kasim did not get a lot of opportunities down the stretch, you know, through the course of practice, he's a guy that really has developed as a receiver that will be able to help us next year in that role, not just on special teams.
All right, the Jaguars finished third in the league in rushing offense, 27th in the pass, 15th overall in terms of total offense. in the NFL this year. When we come back, we'll talk about the defense, an area that certainly is going to be looked at very closely by Gene and the rest of the scouting department this offseason. More to come here on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth on Jaguars Radio.
We're very close. We're in the divisional title game. You know, we made a great run. We did a lot of great things. We just didn't finish at the end. So it's a lot of things we got to take care of. But at the end of the day, it was a great season. We were 8-8. Half the world thought we were going 4-12. So, you know, we just got to continue to work hard and keep proving to ourselves.
Some of the comments today from Maurice Jones-Drew, Jaguars running back, who was selected as a Pro Bowl player this year. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snack, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. All right, we've talked about the offense. Let's talk a little about the defense and where things stand there. Clearly, I mean, you look at the stats, and it doesn't take a mathematician to recognize some of the issues there. 28th in total defense, 22nd against the rush, 28th against the pass. Addressing the pass rush was one of your big challenges this past offseason. You brought in Aaron Kampman, drafted guys like Tyson Alualu and Austin Lane and Larry Hart. Let's start with there. What kind of progress do you feel like you made with the pass rush this year?
We made some progress. I don't think we got to the level that we would have liked, because certainly we'd like to get the quarterback down more. I would say we got him off the spot a lot more this year, got him moving. But we've got some guys that have some ascending ability in that group that I do think, again, got better as the year went on, and we get Aaron Kampman back. I'm very encouraged by this group and what I think they'll be in the future.
How much different would the season have been had Kampman stayed healthy?
Well, I think he would have helped in a lot of ways. He's such a great mentor out on the practice field, and then certainly in the game, he's almost like a coach on the field. And the reputation that he has in the league, he draws a little bit more attention. You know, people are sliding the protection or chipping him, and it creates opportunities for other people. But, you know, when he went out, he was probably our best defensive player, and we had to have other guys step up. And if there's any silver lining to all this, it created some opportunities for some guys at the defensive end spot to get some experience, you know, some snaps in real games that they would not have gotten.
And I think you probably learned a lot more about Jeremy Mincy as a result of that, did you not?
Yeah, Jeremy was one of the bright spots, actually, yesterday. He played extremely hard. He's played with that cast on his hand, which has prevented him from making a number of plays down the stretch. But when you talk about laying it on the line for 60 minutes, he's one of the guys that does that.
How did Tyson do as a rookie?
You know, he did, I think, very well early on. I think the fourth quarter of the season, probably not as well. You know, he's fought through some things injury-wise. And then, like I said up front, I don't think we played exceptionally well down the stretch. He's got to learn to get on edges of blocks better as a pass rusher and be able to win more when he's in one-on-one situations late in the year. I think what people don't understand is for any rookie, that's got to play a lot. And certainly he started every game this year like Knighton did the year before. This is the longest season of their football career. They go from going to training camp their senior year in college, playing out the season, possibly playing in a bowl game. They go from the bowl game, and they go into this intensified training for the combine and draft preparation. They go through all those workouts in the spring. Then they go to mini camp. Then they go to OTAs. Then they go to training camp. Then they go to the preseason. Then they get into the regular season. I mean, they basically have a season unlike anyone they're going to have in their career. And then they're lining up against the best of the best. The guys are bigger, faster than they've ever been confronted with. So when you get in the fourth quarter of the season and you're trying to play through some things, it's a little more difficult now for a rookie for something that they've never experienced before.
You're talking sort of about the rookie wall that gets mentioned so many times and why that comes up. You know, so the conventional wisdom would be, well, they play 10, 12, maybe 13 games in college. Now they're playing 20 games, including the preseason, so they're playing so many more. But there's more to it than just the number of games that that they play as a pro.
No question. And I think the other thing you got to understand is there's effort there. The effort just isn't transferring into as much production. You know, I think the whole group, we got a number of first and second year players that I think would do some great things as they mature more as football players. And so I think it's a real positive sign for the entire team with what we have in our defensive line group.
All right, let's get to the linebackers. Darryl Smith had another terrific year and had a couple of huge games late in the season. I think the game he had in Indianapolis, just about as good as you'll see a linebacker play. He was by far, I think, the stalwart of that unit. How do you assess the linebackers going forward?
Well, I think what I said about Tyson, you go three quarters of the season, and I think he had some outstanding play. Then I think he probably tailed off the last quarter. Where Darryl, he had some consistency throughout the season. He fought through a couple things injury-wise, but then the last quarter of the season, he played outstanding football. He probably played, he played clearly better than anybody on defense and might have played as good as anybody on the entire team, you know. But I take my hat off to him. The linebacker group, Durant had some injuries he had to fight through, kind of like the Mike Sims-Walker situation on offense. Kirk Morrison came in. He had some ups and some downs, and he had an outstanding game against the Raiders, and I think he would tell you he'd like to have one of those games against everyone on our schedule, but it didn't work out that way this year. And then, Russell Allen came in and did a good job the fourth quarter of the season. So, we didn't play as well as we needed to play down the stretch, certainly on the defensive side, but I do feel like, the future is bright if we can put a few more pieces into the puzzle.
How about the secondary? Pass defense was an issue most of the year. A lot of talk about the safety position. Let's start with corner first, though. Rasheen Mathis, Derek Cox.
Well, Rasheen, I thought his best quarter was his fourth quarter of the season. And for Derek, the first quarter was probably his lesser quarter of the season. I think overall, as we can create more rush, obviously the corners will play better. I think part of the thing about playing corner is you got to have some safety help over top that at times they aren't getting. Our safeties have stressed our corners too much, and so we got to get better play out of that group. And we talked about that at the start of the year. And it continued to be an issue in some games throughout the year. But the one guy that kind of emerged on the back end, and I have to admire his toughness from yesterday, is Courtney Green. This guy is a tempo setter in the run game. And, I saw the more he played, the more people became aware of where he was
right
on the field.
You noticed that yesterday. I think Arian Foster knew when he was coming, and a couple of plays you could see Foster was slowed a little bit, then Green was closing, and he kind of went, let's just go ahead and go down.
This is really the first guy that we've had that I could compare to Donovan Darius. He's a true strong safety, and I think he's a guy that's got a chance to have a good future here. At the other safety position, Don got the most play there, and we never really got consistent play out of that position. So there's some positions that we certainly got to address on defense, and that'll be a goal of ours going into the out of season.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the off-season plans and how Gene and the personnel staff will be addressing things when we come back. More Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. We remind you to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Back with more right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Internally, took a big step moving forward. I felt like everybody bought in from day one. Obviously, we didn't finish it the way we wanted to, but for us to come in and accomplish the things we did this year, when faced with so much adversity, we were a resilient group all year, and I just respect every man in this room for that, all the coaches, and you know, for believing in us and the organization, for definitely taking a step forward and moving forward.
Comments from Mercedes Lewis today, Jaguars Pro Bowl tight end. Mercedes said last week and reiterated today that his trip to the Pro Bowl was not one where he took the elevator up to the penthouse. He definitely walked the stairs, and sometimes the journey to that makes it a more fulfilling thing for him. I know he was very excited about making it to the Pro Bowl this year.
Well, and well deserved. I think what he's saying, he earned his way there.
Yep.
And again, I've said a lot of good things about him this year, and he's done it the right way.
All right, we'll talk about what the offseason has to come here in just a minute, but let's spend a moment on special teams. Josh Scobie had you talked about breaking up into quarters. I'm guessing he was a guy whose fourth quarter was probably the least of them, but he had some terrific moments early in the season.
Yeah, if you would have voted after the second quarter, I mean, certainly the first half of the season, he could have been the Pro Bowl kicker. And then you look at Adam Podlish, you look at Jeremy Kane, our specialist, I thought did some special things this year. I really did. They work very well together. They depend on each other. And then from a special team standpoint, to have Montel Owens going and then Kasim Osgood, who's been there three times, and this year he's their first alternate because they can only take one. They were dominant. People were double-teaming them, and they were still making plays. And this is clearly, since I've been here, the best special team personnel we've ever had.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, so the offseason now commences, which means you get real busy if you haven't been busy already. How active do you think the Jaguars will be in free agency?
We won't be overly active. That's not an area that we want to, build this roster. If we can get in there and get a guy or two that can certainly upgrade this football team, we'll do that. There will be an emphasis on our defense to get additional veteran presence, and certainly through the draft we'll stay with best available players. So I don't know if it'll be offensive, defensive. It'll be some good players to help continue to upgrade this roster.
Now and I know you have been a devotee of the best available player approach. That's been something you believe in heavily. With the quarterback, to find that next quarterback, developmental quarterback, how much does that change when you go into the draft and you know that, let's say you grade that there are six guys who could fall in the first two rounds, and here you are in your second round pick, and maybe there's a big gap? How much does that play into your decision making on draft day?
Well, it's a premium position, and I feel like, it is long overdue to add a quarterback, but we're not going to force it. I think when you push a player up or you try to, just fill a need in pro free agency because you're saying this guy's better than what you have, you better be careful. You may overdraft and he'll underperform, or you overpay and he'll underperform. So we want to match things up where there is value, and we can certainly fit a need in both pro free agency if possible, and certainly in the draft.
How difficult is it for you from a free agency standpoint? I know you'd love to add another Aaron Kampman and another Kasim Osgood, that sort of thing. But without a collective bargaining agreement, how do you make a plan for that thing right now?
Well, it's business as usual, really, in terms of our approach. You got to evaluate the players who you think potentially could be available. Obviously, we don't know how the system is going to play out here with the CBA extension. But, you just got to continue to do your work and prepare for whatever the options may be, and then be able to adjust.
This is maybe the biggest question of the night. How close are you? How far off are you from where you want to be?
Well, I think when we started the season out this year, I don't think, at least outside this building, there were high expectations for this team. And then the way the season fell, the second half, we were certainly in position to win the division. And then you finish the year losing three games. I mean, that to me is unacceptable in terms of what we want to do in the future. So if we can learn from the mistakes we made this year in crucial moments, late in the year in particular, and if we can certainly use maybe some of that the difficult way the season end and have it be a catalyst for some of the things we do in the out of season to make us better next year. Hopefully, as with any loss or losses, if you can benefit from it, you certainly have some good from it.
And I know that's talk about finding that hope and seeing where things can go. A lot of folks will look at the record at 8-8 and say, well, that's a one-game improvement from a year ago. You can look at it at a different stance and say, well, how much improvement did the team make? And as Bill Parcells famously once said, you are what your record says you are, but there's also a deeper level to it as well. And so that's what we're kind of taking a look at here to see what the where things are on that path along the way.
Well, I agree with Bill Parcells. I mean, right now we're 16th in the draft order because we won 8-8. That's who we are.
Yep.
That's what we earned.
Is that a good spot to be in, 16 for this draft?
Well, I'd like to think it will be. You know, I do feel like we'll be able to make some great strides in the out of season in terms of how we approach pro free agency and the draft, and then the players that we get back who are on IR. So I feel very confident in what this team can do next year, not just because of the chemistry. I do think we're building a winner here. I really believe that.
All right, well, we're just have a couple of minutes left here in our final program. Gene, let me take this opportunity to thank you for coming in. You sent Terry in a couple times after some wins to take the glory cut, but just about the rest of the time came in here, and every time you were in here, very candid and honest about your observations and beliefs about what the team's doing and so forth. I don't think that if you would find this anywhere else in the National Football League, the kind of candor that you're providing from a general manager's position. So I hope the fans have appreciated. I know a lot of them have. I've heard from many of them that have, but I certainly appreciated your candor and your availability throughout the course of the year this year.
Well, Cole, I appreciate you and Vic and Joe, and hopefully we've been able to give back some to our passionate fans, and I'm very happy to be a part of this show.
All right, Gene Smith, the Jaguars general manager. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night at 6 will be the Jack Del Rio show, and then Wednesday at 6, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Now that we move into the out-of-season portion of the schedule, Joe didn't like me saying off-season, out-of-season. Portion of the schedule. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggum, and Vic Ketchman goes to a one-hour format. Well, the season comes to a close at 8-8. The Jaguars will be moving forward to the 2011 season. We'll keep a close eye on the playoffs. You have a playoff pick for us, by the way, Gene? Do you have a Super Bowl pick? Anybody you think? New England looks pretty tough at this point.
They sure do. I think they'll be the team to beat.
All right, and Joe's over here saying New England and Philadelphia in a rematch of the Super Bowl played here in Jacksonville, so we'll see how it all plays out. I had Baltimore and Green Bay at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stick with that just out of stubbornness, if nothing else. I don't think anybody's going to beat New England the way they're going. Tom Brady has been just unbelievable so far this year, and 36 touchdowns, four interceptions, something like that?
Yeah, they're not as good on defense, yep. But he's certainly playing at a level that you can win a Super Bowl with.
And he never seems to lose at home, which is then they'll have home field advantage. Gene, thank you. Joe Fortunato, thank you. Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutif, and good night from Jaguar Center.